morning. Welcome to worship this morning. A few announcements that I'll make. Be sure to check your Constant Contact for the information that you need for the service. It's been printed there. This Wednesday, we'll have a men's breakfast at 8 o'clock via Zoom. And at 5 o'clock on Wednesday, 5 p.m., we'll have confirmation via Zoom also. And on Thursday, we'll have a Bible study at 10 a.m. via Zoom. We are working hard on complying with all the recommendations for worshiping in the building. Some supplies are not easily available, so we're kind of holding off to set a date for when we will be able to welcome you back. But please keep in touch, and we will keep in touch with you. Thank you. Let's turn now to the confession and the forgiveness. And we will have communion during this service. So if you have bread and wine or juice available, please prepare it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Our gathering hymn are the first two verses of Spirit of Gentleness, which is, if you have a red hymnal with you, it's 396. Spirit of Gentleness.
Thank you.
The Kyrie is printed in your bulletin. If you have one, we will read the Kyrie and the prayer canticle of praise. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious God. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Amen. Now let us pray. O God of glory, your Son, Jesus Christ, suffered for us and ascended to your right hand. Unite us with Christ and each other in suffering and in joy, that all the world may be drawn into your bountiful presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The first reading for Pentecost Sunday is from The first reading for Pentecost is from the second chapter of the book of Acts. Pentecost was a Jewish harvest festival that marked the 50th day after Passover. Luke portrays the Holy Spirit being poured out upon the disciples before they gathered, and astonished people assembled in Jerusalem for the festival. Filled with the Spirit, the disciples were able to witness the power of Christ's resurrection. When the day of Pentecost had come, the apostles were all together in one place, and suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now, there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not these all who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own native language, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power?"
all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as some of you supposed, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Let us read portions of Psalm 104 responsively. How manifold are your works, O Lord! In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Yonder is the sea, great and wide, with its swarms, too many to number, living things both small and great. There go the ships to and fro, and Leviathan, which you made for the sport of it. All of them look to you to give them their food in due season. You give it to them, they gather it, you open your hand, and they are filled with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to their dust. You send forth your spirit, and they are created. And so you renew the face of the earth. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. O Lord, rejoice in all your works. You look at the earth, and it trembles. You touch the mountains, and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I will praise my God while I have my being. May these words of mine please God. I will rejoice in the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Alleluia. The second reading is from the 12th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Paul's helping the Corinthians understand the relationship between our God-given unity and the Spirit-created diversity. The Spirit creates the unity of faith and gives all Christians diverse gifts for the common benefit of all. We need one another's diverse spiritual gifts because the same Spirit has given them to each person for the common good. Paul writes, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. The Gospel acclamation, Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. The Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. On that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples were gathered were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. And then he showed them his hands and his side. And the disciples rejoiced when they saw that it was the Lord. Then Jesus said again to them, Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so now I send you. And then he breathed on them and said, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. But if you retain the sins of any, they are retained. That's the good news, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now, if there are any kids around, I just wanted to talk to the kids a little bit about what Sunday we are celebrating. We're celebrating Pentecost Sunday, and behind me at the lectern was the symbols of the Holy Spirit, the fire and the dove, and on the other side over here we have for all the saints, and the doves were a reminder of the Holy Spirit coming down upon them. Remember in the story about Jesus' baptism, the dove descended, or the Spirit came down upon Jesus and lighted like a dove would light. They flop and they coo and they're really neat when they do that. Well, the Spirit comes down upon them gently. And in our gospel, our first reading today, we heard that it was like tongues of flame. Can you imagine a flame hanging over you? A flame that's not really burning, but a flame that shows the symbol of the Holy Spirit coming upon us. So that's the meaning of Pentecost, or the beginning of the meaning of Pentecost. Today, I would like to have you try to imagine, as I was sharing the gospel with you, were you able to imagine what was going on there? Remember, the disciples are in the room in which they probably had the Last Supper, and the doors are locked for fear of the Jews. Now remember, they were with Jesus. They left their fishing nets, they left their tax tables, and they came to be with Jesus and followed him for 3 years. They saw him do all of the miracles, the healings, the casting out of demons, the raising of the dead to life, the walking on water, you name it, changing water into wine and making a picnic lunch into enough to feed thousands. They knew all of this. So that's part of them. But they also saw Jesus beaten and hanging on a cross. They saw his body riddled with whip marks and scars, hanging on the tree and taken down. Some of them even helped carry his body to a tomb. And there was no doubt in their minds that Jesus indeed was dead. And the tomb was sealed. Now, with this in mind, they're puzzled. They don't know what to do. Even though Jesus has told them several times that he would rise from the dead, and even though the women had come from the tomb and said, he's alive, he's not here, he's not in the tomb, they're still befuddled. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to deal with all of these things that have happened. If you can imagine being there with them, now imagine Jesus just appearing right there before you. Wow! Would that shake you up? Is it a ghost? Is it real? But then Jesus shows them the wounds in his hands and in his side. And they know that it's Jesus and they rejoice. But Jesus doesn't stop there. Jesus says to them, he breathes on them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, some people may think of that as being just a little bit strange. Why would somebody blow on other people? In fact, what they're telling us about this pandemic is that it's our breath that is the most contagious, that we should cut down our singing and our reading together and all those things that we would do in a public space. Here Jesus is breathing on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But it comes all the way from the book of Genesis, where it is the breath of God. In the Hebrew, it's called the Ruach Elohim. And this breath of God blows over the waters and separates the water from the land. And it's the breath of God, the Ruach Elohim, that breathes into Adam and Eve and brings life into them. And now it's that breath of God, the life of God, that blows into the disciples. And they are changed. But Jesus has also given them a mission. Because you see, they're kind of like an orchestra that hasn't tuned up. They're in this room. They don't know what they're going to do or how they're going to do it. Jesus was their director before, and now their director is gone. If you've ever been to a concert where a band is tuning up beforehand, or an orchestra, it sounds pretty noisy and pretty weird. But once they get tuned up and they can all play the same tune in the same key, it's beautiful. I'm often amazed at those people who have that ability. And that's what Jesus does. He pulls the orchestra together and he gives them a mission. He gives them direction. They can follow his direction because he says, "As the Father sent me, I send you." It's not as if he's saying, "Well, I'll bless you and now you can go home and do nothing." He gives them the direction. Jesus says, "God blessed me and now I bless you. He sent me, now I send you." I was thinking about how we often get that message wrong. And we forget the second part of it, the going out again. I was thinking of a man who belonged to a church where they had an altar call every week. And every week he would come to the front and kneel down and he'd lift up his hands and he'd cry, "Fill my cup, Lord, fill my cup." And every week he would leave the church and lead a very unchristian life. This went on week after week, month after month. One Sunday he did the same thing, came to the front of the church, knelt down and lifted up his hands and prayed, "Fill my cup, Lord, fill my cup." Well, some little lady in the back of the church evidently had seen enough of this and the way he lived his life. She shouted, "Don't do it, Lord! He leaks!" Well, our problem is some of us leak too. We don't always play the tune that God has given us to play. We don't always follow through with what he wants us to do. I found a song. It's an odd song, but one that to it, another tune that we do know. It goes like this. "I love your church, O God. Her walls are beautiful. But when I can't be there, oh Lord, it's hard to live. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify. But Lord, expect no cash from me, your glory comes too high. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Yes, though I seldom pray, I still insist I am. Must Jesus bear the cross and all the world go free? No others, Lord, should do their part, but please don't count on me. Well, the disciples didn't stop there. They continued to look for direction from their director, Jesus. It says in that the reading that they devoted themselves to prayer. It was their one connection they had with God above and God and Jesus himself to find out what it was Jesus wanted them to do and how he wanted them to do it. A famous artist who specialized in stained glass was really noted as one of the best artists around. He had an apprentice who was learning the trade and who practiced daily and did everything the master said, and he tried his hardest, but he just couldn't quite get the art right. It just didn't look as good as the master's. And when the master was going on a vacation, the apprentice said, Master, would you mind if I borrowed your tools? Because he was sure that it was the tools that made all the difference. And the master allowed him to do that. And so, while the master was away, he worked and he tried and he practiced. But his stained glass just didn't have the same quality that his master had. And when a visiting artist came by, he was telling him about his problem, that he had worked at this and he had even used the master's tools, but it didn't make any difference. His art just wasn't the quality that the master had. And the visiting artist said, young man, what you need is not the master's tools, but the master's spirit. And that's what makes the difference. I have to admit that I am in awe of many people who have special skills, either in art, or my wife does quilting, and I look at some of those and I'm amazed at how beautiful they are. And in music, now I play the piano and the organ and guitar, but I'm more like the apprentice, an amateur in the biggest sense. So I really admire people like Julie, who plays so beautifully. I can give her a piece of music that I've tried to plunk through in my way, and mine sounds more like chopsticks. But when she takes that music, the spirit of that music is in her, and it sounds so much better. The same thing is true when we met a number of the professional musicians when we lived close to Branson. They had this some spirit that would make ordinary music turn into something really beautiful. Well, that's what we are called upon to do, is to allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and be able to live through us. And that's what Pentecost is really all about. You noticed how on Pentecost the Holy Spirit came upon them and they began to speak in languages that they didn't normally know, the languages of all the world, so to speak, that other people could understand. That Spirit got into them. One of our problems is illustrated by a baseball player who was asked in an interview if he could meet anybody in the world that he would really like to meet. Who was it he would like to meet? And his comment was, well, I'd really like to meet God, but I'm in no hurry. The problem he has, and that some of us have, is that we have this image of God living up there somewhere, you know, maybe on another planet, maybe in another universe, somewhere way out there. And we forget the message of Christmas. That no matter where God was, God came to live among us as one of us. And that he has never left. Lo, I will be with you always, he has declared. And he has. And Pentecost is a reminder that his Spirit permeates everything we are and everything we want to be. If we have heard the word of the gospel, if the word has even been read as we open our Bibles and read it, the Spirit of God has literally come into us. Because you see, we are the body of Christ. We are the church. As Paul described it in Romans, all of the gifts of the Spirit come, but to each one as it's needed. Not so that we all are great pianists. We are all great quilters. We are all great artists. Or we are all great ball players. Each gift is specific to that person for the things that that person needs to have. We are the ones who are called upon to allow the Spirit to move in us and through us. And we have to gather, as the disciples did, to remember that they were self-quarantined for a while, but it didn't stop them. Even while they were avoiding the authorities who would arrest them and put them in prison, they continued to share the word because they knew that the gospel could live through them. We have the opportunity to do the same thing, even in this time of pandemic. We can be praying, come Holy Spirit, fill us with your power. Fill us with your gifts so that we too may share the good news throughout the world. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's join now in singing the have a page tied together here. Our next hymn is, hymn number 800 in the red book, or the cranberry book, whichever color you want to call it. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. Profess our faith using the creed, which is printed in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Uplifted by the promised hope of healing and resurrection, we join the people of God in all times and places in praying for the church, the world, and all who are in need. If there are people you'd like to remember in our prayers, I'll pause at the appropriate time for you to name them. We call on your spirit of unity, giving thanks for our different vocations. Activate and utilize the diverse gifts present in our church, that they reveal your love for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We call on your spirit of life, present in air, wind, humidity, storms, and oxygen in our atmosphere, breathing energy into all things. Heal with your breath the whole creation, especially our nation at this time, especially those struggling to breathe due to air pollution or COVID-19. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We call on your spirit of righteousness wherever we as a people are divided. Unite us. Wherever we are prideful, humble us. Give each one of us a heart for justice and empathy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We call on your spirit of healing. Bless nurses, doctors, midwives, chaplains, counselors, and hospice workers as they care for those in need. We pray for all who long for comfort. We pray especially for those we name before you now. And those we name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We call on your spirit of friendship. As Elizabeth welcomed Mary to come home to her home, give us a spirit of welcome to those whom we meet wherever we are. Surprise us daily with unexpected grace, that we rejoice in every blessing you send. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We call on your spirit of hope. As you have led your saints in all times and places, stir in us the desire to follow their example, leading us from death to new life in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray that the Holy Spirit continues working amongst our joint call committee collectively and through each member individually. We pray that the Spirit will move and work through Mark and Sarah as they seek candidates for our fellowship ministry. We pray that the Spirit will move in the hearts of those potential candidates as well. With bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place all for whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always. And now I ask you to share that peace with one another if you're gathered with a group. And if not, remember to call somebody after the service to give them a word of peace also. At this time, we usually receive an offering for the church, and we thank you for remembering to do so. We ask you to send the offerings to the church and consider the direct deposit options that are mentioned in the newsletter. Let us turn to the offering prayer. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb, who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so, with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures and all the angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending song. Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise. Beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath, we praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of the exile, into the future, we bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son, at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering, within us in this meal, among your people throughout the world. Bless, praise, and thanks to our holy God. Through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit, in your church, without end. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. At this time, I invite you to take the bread. And if you have more than one with you, receive it and say, the body of Christ given for you. Now take the cup of wine or juice. The blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Breathe on me, breath of God. It's in the Green Book, hymn number 488. Share the good news. Thanks be to God. We will.